Hello and welcome to LifePoint's DriveCast. My name is Dustin Yankowski. I'm the Community Life Pastor at LifePoint Westerville. This past Sunday, we continued in our series Alive in the Book of Ephesians. And we call it Alive because it comes out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, where Paul says that while we were dead in our trespasses and sin, God has made us alive in Christ. We've been looking at how Jesus makes us new. And our text this past Sunday was in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. But I just want to read the first five verses here for you. It reads as this: "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So if you have these verses in front of you, what you'll notice is that there's a dash at the end of verse 1, which marks a break in Paul's thought. And really, the next 12 verses are kind of a tangent of sorts as he continues on that thought. And we're clued into why he breaks and what caused this break at the end in verse 13, where he says, "I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to lose heart," some translations say, "over what I'm suffering for you." And so the first verse he throws out, "I'm a prisoner of Christ on your behalf." And then he catches himself because he actually is in prison writing this letter. And he knows that the church in Ephesus is probably struggling with that, is probably being tempted to be discouraged because of that fact. So he breaks. And then he writes 12 verses on why not only should they not be discouraged, but why they should be encouraged. I love that Paul and the Bible don't simply tell us, "Hey, stop being discouraged, get through it." No, they don't just tell us what to keep our hearts from, but what to give our hearts to. They show us why we actually should be encouraged. And the first thing Paul points to is how God has been active in his life. He says, God gave him grace. God revealed things to him, was showing him things, was pointing things out. God was active in Paul's life. And I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to kind of look forward into the future at all the things that need to happen in my life, in my marriage, in my parenting, in the world, really just everywhere, and start to get discouraged. And it can really spiral on from there. I'm fearful that things won't happen. I start to lose enthusiasm for actually engaging with it on a daily basis. I feel demoralized or defeated. And Paul is pointing to God's perfect record of faithfulness in his life as a source of encouragement that fuels his faith forward. Paul had, honestly, when you read about what Paul went through and endured, he had a lot of circumstances that I'm sure he was tempted to feel discouraged about. Jailing, beating, just a lot of things. But he doesn't live out of that. He looks at God's personal hand on his life and knows that God is with him, that God is involved, God is at work, and he draws encouragement from that. And if I were to ask you, where have you seen God at work in your life? What percentage of God's work do you think we'd be aware of, that you would be aware of to be able to list out? I think the more that we see God bringing people or situations together, or using his word to teach us or to reveal to us, or to use his church, the people, to sharpen and encourage us, or use his spirit to guide us and comfort us, the more we can see God's active work in our life, we won't just have the absence of discouragement, but we'll have the powerful presence of encouragement. Because we know God is personally involved. God sees us. And that is the key to cultivating spiritual intimacy with him. So I want to ask you, would you just take some time to reflect on God's work in your life today? Now, maybe the big moments you're super aware of, because, how could that not be God? That's undeniable. But if you look back, maybe hindsight will kick in and you'll go, you know what? I could see how God is using that now, as I look back. But I think there's a lot more areas and ways that God has been at work that we're just unaware of because we're not seeing it. And so the moments that you feel stuck, discouraged, would you allow those moments to come to your mind and encourage you that, you know what, as you look out into the future, God is able, God is with you, God will guide you, God will work all things for your good because he's perfectly faithful. He's been perfectly faithful. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to take a quick second to pray to God as well. So God, you're a good dad. You're a good father. You, even when we feel demoralized, defeated, tired, and we're just done working, we just can't engage, God, you are always at work. God, and you're always at work in us. You're trying to mold us into your son's image. And God, I just want to thank you for just be personally involved that you care, that you see us, the God of the universe sees me. And God, I just pray that you would bring to mind and make us aware of all the ways that you are at work in our life, and that we would be encouraged as we look out and we take steps into the future. God, would we have a fuel for our faith like Paul? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you can, just take a quick second to pray to God on your own. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening into this week's Drivecast, and we'll hope you'll join us soon.